Hallelujah. This is the promise to restore Zion. Zion was in bad shape when Isaiah preached, but God looks ahead to restoration, to the day of deliverance. Praise God. God is a God of restoration. Can you say amen? He'll restore anybody that'll let him. Amen. He's a God of restoration. Hallelujah. Except when it comes to preachers, if they fall by the wayside, we don't think God can ever restore them. Come on. How dumb can you get? If God, amen, if you can't restore somebody that already believes what you believe, that already preaches what you preach, that already knows what the Bible says, amen, who are you going to restore? If you can't help somebody that already is in your corner, amen, struggling, hallelujah, what are you trying to go into the highways and hedges to do? I'll tell you, it's a whole lot easier to restore somebody that's already in our right hand than it is somebody out yonder beyond. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Yet there are people sitting around in church and holiness churches that are too holy to dirty their hands to restore somebody. Amen. They are so narrow between the eyes that a mosquito can light on their nose and scratch both eyeballs at the same time. Hey, God is a God of restoration. Amen. If we can claim this promise for the glory of future Zion, how much more of the glory of those, amen, that have been in the church and wandered away, and we'd like to see them come back. That is all except preachers. Amen. Hey, God can restore preachers too. Amen. He fully restores preachers, praise God. Every preacher that falls, if he gets back saved, he's still got to preach. Some people think he can't preach, but the gift and calling of God are without repentance. The Bible teaches that if you are called to preach, you've got to preach. Amen. You may not be able to pastor due to the scars on your life. You may be crippled. Amen. As Havis Crawford uses the term crippled preacher. Amen. But you still got to preach. Hallelujah. If you go to heaven, you still got to preach. And some of these folks that left this church, amen, criticizing preachers and criticizing me because I asked preachers that had fallen and was trying to pick themselves up to testify. Amen. There's some of them testifying now. They're saying things like this: I'm in hell on earth. Amen. Just inquire around a little bit. Amen. If you can't restore somebody, how are you going to get restored yourself? Amen. If you can't lift somebody out of the dirt, how are you going to lift anybody out of the dirt? Amen. Where are you going to go and what are you going to preach if you don't preach the gospel of restoration? Amen. The gospel of Pentecost is one of restoration. He said, I will restore unto you the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm and the locust have eaten. Praise God. God was a God of restoration. Pentecost is an experience of restoration. Amen. Hallelujah. We're so holy today in some holiness circles, amen, that we can't reach down and pick somebody up. And so like the rabbi and the priest, we go by on the other side. But every once in a while, there's a good Samaritan comes along. Amen. And he pours in the wine and the oil. Puts him upon his own beast. Sticks his neck away out for him. Amen. I'll tell you something. If you can't restore your peers, how are you going to restore those that's far, far away from God? Amen. If you can't restore your peers, how are you going to preach the gospel to the heathen? Amen. If you can't restore your peers, what hope have you if you get anybody saved? If they backslide, amen, nothing can be done to help them. If they backslide, amen, God's a God of restoration. Pentecost is a message of restoration. Hallelujah. Holiness is a message of restoration. That's why the doctor washes and cleanses his hands and puts on bacterially treated, germ-proof as much as he can, gloves, mask, and clothing, praise God. Amen. He gets holy to operate on people that are in trouble. The reason we got holy is not to shut the door and to walk out and leave them on the operating table and say, let somebody else do it. Let them operate on them themselves. Amen. He intended for you to do it. Praise God. He intended for you to put on the cap and the gloves, amen, and the moccasins and wash your hands and get holy, amen, so you could do a good, clean job of restoration. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a prophecy to restored Zion. But God will do the same for the church. Hallelujah. God has helped me to help some preachers make a new start. God has helped me to help the underdog once in a while. Amen. You may feel like you're top dog, but if you're not helping the underdog, amen, you may not be no dog at all. You may be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Amen. Hallelujah. And a lot of folks sitting around the holiness churches gossiping and chewing the rag and need to get right with God, amen, and become the shepherd and the shepherdess of the souls of men that God intends for us to be. Amen. When they come to our altars, let's help them. Amen. A man comes to my altar, I want to help him. If he's a backslidden preacher and he comes to my altar and gets saved, I'm going to help him. I'm going to encourage him, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to have him testify. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm going to have him sing. God may use him to encourage somebody else that they too can reach down in the mud and lift themselves out by their own bootstraps. Read the book of Isaiah chapter 1. Amen. From the top of the head to the soles of the feet, it's full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and there's no soundness in it. That's the shape Israel was in. That's the shape a lot of preachers is in. That's the shape a lot of churches is in. But I've seen some churches turn around. One of them was a highway of holiness. So far gone, it was almost beyond saving. And some of the nucleus of holiness that we had even left out of sympathy pains eventually. Amen. But God helped a few to help a few more, praise God. And we're sending the gospel of restoration to the ends of the earth. We'll help you if you'll let us. Because we have a glorious destiny. Amen. I noticed that Rush Limbaugh said as I came up the highway Friday, he said, when you think of Serbs, you think of Christians. When you think of Kosovites and Albanians, he said, you think of Muslims. Well, it's finally come to their senses. They finally realize there's just one problem. The Christians we think of are not true Christians. They are political Christians. And that don't count. That don't make notches with God. Political Christianity don't make any bones with God. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have any business in Kosovo. We don't have any business in Yugoslavia. We are out of the will of God there. We should have left them alone in their 600-year battle. Amen. Corrupted Christianity with its chastiser, amen, Mohammed's followers, amen. God raised up Mohammed and his ungodly bunch to chastise backslidden Israel and a backslidden church, amen. We ain't got any business there, but we can't get out now. We're in too deep. We're like flies caught in a spider web, and the spider poises to pounce upon its prey. Amen. We can't do anything right there. We're continually doing things wrong there. The good we thought to do, we're doing more harm than doing good. The sooner we get out, the better. Let them alone. God can't even help them. They're going to have to help themselves. There is that remote possibility, amen, that we might help some of those Muslims that have become refugees. But there's a lot of refugees in the world. Amen. God helps them all if they let him. Amen. Brother Javier back there is a refugee from his own country. His whole family had to leave when the communists took over. Amen. He's an immigrant to the United States of America. He found refuge here. Had to get out. They would have killed his daddy because he had a little sense. He had a good business going. Amen. He went back to look at their home place to see if it was still there, to look at where they used to live. The refugee, Javier Avendano. Amen. And they saw other people living in their house, other people enjoying their home, and they couldn't go home. But Javier Avendano has found a better destiny. Amen. In the good old Christian United States of America, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God. Hey, amen. God helped Javier. Amen. And he'll help you. If you'll call upon God, he'll help you. Praise God. Yes, there's a glorious destiny for the church of the living God. I like to say, point number one, your time will come. Your day of glory will arrive. And this is it already in part. We can sing with gusto tonight, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling out his vineyard where the grapes of wrath are stored. His truth is marching on. I can say in my 51 years living for God, 48 years preaching the gospel, mine eyes have seen the glory. Amen. I could not imagine a poor, unknown hillbilly living in a one-room log cabin. The night I got saved, I went back to our one-room log cabin and laid down in the corner on our bed. And I looked up at the ceiling that night. I wasn't afraid no more that if I died, I'd go to hell. What a day that was. What a start that was. They told me I needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you all think I needed it? Do you think you'd ever heard tell of L.L. Collins if I hadn't got it? No. Amen. Ah, yes. I touched home just this week. It's good to touch home every once in a while. I went back to the first church I ever pastored. It's a new church now in a little different spot. Amen. Essentially the same congregation, praise God. I touched home. They was glad to see me. And I was glad to see them. I went to Joey's meeting. They was glad to see me. Amen. A lot of my members have moved into the Springfield area and scattered up and down the highway. Amen. All the way between Batesville, Arkansas, clear to Springfield, Missouri, clear to Kansas City. Amen. But I got to see a bunch of them this week. They was glad to see me. Some of them told me they was proud of me. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Praise God. Your time will come. Amen. I didn't realize what God had in store for me as I walked those hills. Amen. Praying, God, give me a closer walk. I went to hunt the cows, praying, Lord, give me a closer walk. I went to milk the cows, praying, Lord, give me a closer walk. When the family left to go to the show, I'd get down beside the couch and pray, oh, God, give me a closer walk. Fill me the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Almost got the Holy Ghost at home a few times. Amen. But one night when the fire had gone out in the old country church just about, and most of the saints had gone home, I gave it one more round. Oh, I'd seek the Holy Ghost every weekend. They had at least one mourner on the mourner's bench. when it come time to seek the Holy Ghost, because I had made my commitment. I got done work at the sale barn. I smell like that sale barn. I went home, tried to clean up a little bit, caught me a ride home, amen, 5 miles out in the country, washed up a little bit and put on some better clothes and went to church. Amen. And got down to seek the Holy Ghost. I didn't have time to eat before I left, so I had to leave fasting. On Saturday night, Mom would bring bologna and lettuce and Miracle Whip and ice. And we had lemonade for a day because we had 50 or 100 pounds of ice, whichever the case was. Amen. In a tub outside the front step covered with blankets. We'd chip away at that ice and have tea and lemonade and bologna and lettuce and Miracle Whip. Amen. Sandwiches like that. And I didn't have time to eat none of it before I went to church that night. Amen. I'd get down to seek the Holy Ghost, and I would see some of the most beautiful pictures of lemonade and bologna and lettuce sandwiches, real thick ones like Dagwood would make, pass by, you know. Amen. And the devil said, "You're hungry. Why don't you go home?" And I just kept hollering, "Glory! God, fill me the Holy Ghost! Hallelujah!" I saw some of the most beautiful, lush glasses of lemonade and bologna and lettuce sandwiches you ever saw while I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is the devil trying to short circuit my commitment to God? Amen. Praise God. Your time will come, however. God did fill me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Just a few months later, a couple months later, he called me to preach. I felt that strong impression, that strong urge, way down deep inside, and others saw it. Amen. I didn't have a car. I didn't have one white shirt. I had never owned a bicycle. Amen. I didn't have one, two, or three piece or any piece suit. Amen. And I was called to preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. After I preached my first message and they wanted me to pastor the Midway Church just a few months later. Amen. I spent $35 for a size 35 gray gabardine double-breasted suit. And I wore it for years. I had me some preaching clothes. Amen. I mean, you talk about a hillbilly stepping up in the world. In just a few months, I had a car as good as my dad, and he worked for Frisco Railroad. He drove a 41 pea green Chevrolet, and I drove a 41 pea green Ford. Amen. Hallelujah. I was stepping up in the world for God. I never dreamed the longest day I lived that I'd ever have a car like that. The nicer things in life was so far beyond my reach that I didn't even dare think too much about it. I just read about it, and I heard about it. Air conditioning, forget it. We didn't even need it. At least we didn't think we did. Amen. Woo, glory to God. But the time came. Amen. The flocks of Kedar shall gather together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance to mine altar. And I'll glorify the house of my dwelling. Praise God, my glory. Amen. Surely the isles shall wait for me. The ships of Tarshish first. To bring thy sons from far. Their silver, their gold with them. Unto the name of the Lord thy God. And to the Holy One of Israel. Because he hath glorified thee. I want to tell you tonight. There's a better day coming for the faithful. Amen. Amen. And this is it, in part. The decisions we make tonight determine our future. The decisions we make today determine our future. The attitudes we have tonight determine our tomorrow. Amen. I'm talking about the preliminary to glory. The preliminary to glory is waiting on God. Amen. The preliminary to glory is sometimes we're forsaken and hated. I was a favorite son. They was proud. Here I am preaching the gospel and pastoring a church. But pretty soon, jealousy comes in. Rivalries take over. Amen. And people are looking out for their own interest. And they can't stand to see you blessed. Amen. And so many forsook me. And some hated me. And I was in the valley over it. And I went home praying, crying. And I opened the Bible to Isaiah 60. This is the first time that God ever spoke to me out of this chapter. It was verse 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Hallelujah. Thou shalt suck the milk of the Gentiles. Thou shalt suck the breast of kings. Thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Hallelujah. God had spoken. My friends, I have lived to see that prophecy fulfilled. Amen. Sometimes we'll be forsaken. What do you do when you're misunderstood, forsaken, and you become the object of others' envy and sometimes rage? What do you do? Keep a sweet spirit. Stay with God. Remember this. If you're blessed and Esau's not, he ain't gonna like it. Remember this. If Abel is blessed and Cain's not, he ain't gonna like it. Amen. What do you do? Forsake the blessing? What do you do? Put out the fire?